We believe that we're from the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget or forgetful. So I thought I'd touch a little bit on the past sermon first, because I talked about, and I know some were there, so this will be a little good little review. I talked about strengthening our prayer life with God. And if you don't believe in God, obviously, what are you doing here? So there's a foundation there. There's a God that's out there. In fact, when I was looking at the movie The Planet Earth, and I saw Mount Everest and all the other things that have always been here. So long before me, long before my dad, long before my grandparents, all the way back to how long was Mount Everest still there? What kind of shape was that in before the Noachian flood took place? How much of the earth changed from that point there? We don't know a lot of those things. We will in the future. There's a lot of questions that we have that we don't know yet. So we have to focus in on the things that are most important. And if you know that there's a God, there's a relationship that we can have, a personal one between you and God, between you and the most important being in the entire universe. You can have a personal relation and walk with. And if you think about that, if you just stop to think about that, is it an insane not to? And where is that walk that we have? I mean, if we can't think of anything more important right now, it would be that walk with God. As we went back, we can see those that actually walked with God. They talked with God. You know, Abraham walked with God. There was a very personal relationship. And if we need anything more important right now through all the things that we go through, it would be that walk with God, to talk with God, to walk with God, to talk to him about your issues and your problems. There's so many things that we can be praying about. It would take an entire 24-hour day to really get down and pray about those that need God's intervention, all the different things that are taking place, the needs that we have, the desires that we have, you know, looking forward to, the coming kingdom, and praying that God would have mercy for us to be there. We can have that with God. I talked about a pact. Do you remember what those four words were? When I made talk about making a pact with God, here's the thing. If you heard it 2 weeks ago, if you really heard it, and as was mentioned in the sermonette today, you can hear it and then go your own way. And I like to know, I don't want you to tell me. Some of you may go, hey, it's been increased like crazy. Some may say, well, you know, I'm getting there. You know, I really hope and pray that we can get there. That if you've got a good prayer life with God now, that you can have a greater prayer life with God. I don't think you can ever stop. And what's more important than asking God in our walk in prayers with God? So that first word that I used it as an acronym. That first word, it started with P. Do you remember what that was? Anybody remember what that was? Petitioning God. Petitioning. That's a natural, isn't it? Everybody is going to come and ask. In fact, I wonder how many times we start the prayer off and right away we ask for something. Whatever it might be, and that might not be selfish. You might right away ask for something for somebody else. Please heal this person. That might be on your mind right away. But obviously it's important that we ask. Because so many times, even going back to James, you have not because you ask not. I didn't even think about asking about that. Sometimes we might say, when we have an issue, maybe we think that God's too busy. I think there was a sermon recently that was given about laying on of hands, about the minister's role in doing that. Sometimes I know people have said, you know, I know that you're busy. But the thing is, we're busy for you. That's why we're here. And if you don't ask, then you don't give us the opportunity to serve you. So there's got to be an asking, well, he's just too busy, and I'll kind of just, you know, let this go. If there is something important enough that you've got an infirmity, and I like to do the same thing. Thankfully, I'm in a church that's got elders. I was in churches that didn't have elders. The Mr. and Mrs. Dickey spent the night with us last night. There's nothing like getting together with fellow ministers and talking about our things that we've gone through together, and, you know, kind of sometimes it's like a healing balm when you see, wow, they went through that, and you know, discuss all the different things and items and the joys and, you know, that we share as well. But we ask God. We ask God. The next one, remember what the A was. There's something important in this too. That's why I do like watching about God's creation. because then I can appreciate God so much more and the things that he does, the little things that he does and the big things that he does. All the specific things. How did he do that? Was watching it again, last night with showed Mr. Dickey, and he was really impressed by it. He goes, I really, really enjoyed that. Said, there's these little creations that take place, and these little birds or these little fish or whatever, these little fish that actually, they blow bubbles. This one blows bubbles, and there's this whole thing of bubbles that are on top of the water. And then they lay the female lays the eggs, and the male fertilizes them, and then they take all the eggs up to these bubbles, and they put them in these bubbles, because the water doesn't have enough oxygen in it. Where in the world did that one come from? Who came up with that idea? Did the angelic realm have suggestions? I wonder. I don't know if they did or not, but who came up with that idea? Yeah, we got all these fish. Let's do one that takes bubbles to the surface and we could put the eggs in there. It'll just be kind of fun to watch. And it is. But all different kinds of fish. And it just, you look at that and go, God, how great you are. It would take years and years to watch all the things and to look at all the things. You go to an aquarium, that's the minuscule amount of things that you might see in God's creation. It's so fascinating. But so much more that we can adore him for all the things, for his calling. Why me? As we think about sometimes in his mercy. And by the way, all these things I'm telling you now, this day is a day of beautiful sunshine out there. We can have a great time today in fellowship after services. But a day, if you haven't done this yet, if you haven't started this pack with God, if you haven't increased yet, if you're kind of going, yeah, I really didn't do much with that, you can start today. You can start again. You can get a fresh start and really thinking about this and making the application in our life that you just don't hear it and go by the wayside. But you can actually increase your prayer life. That's what I'd like to help with today. So the C. How about the C? Do you remember what the C? P was petition. A was adoration. C was contrition. I believe I just read that in the new Discern magazine. Isaiah 66 was quoted. To this person will I look. To this one. To him as of a contrite spirit who respects my word. That's what we're here for. And what a better way to do it than with a team? Remember what it's like to play on a team. The wonderful successes sometimes that I can remember as I look back. I know with my brother-in-law being here today, when I graduated from college, I went out to Montvale and I coached the boys' basketball team, and we only had six. We had six guys. I remember sometimes we had two that were lame. Because they had worked so hard, they had cramps, and they still went on to win. We went on that year. I've got a plaque that says, "Congratulations, 8-0." We didn't get any losses that year. And then we went to Washington D.C. and everything went wrong. And the guys told me after that they probably deserved it. So we've had it. We've had our successes. We've had our failures. In life, you're going to have those too. We've had our successes. And we have our failures. God is looks to our successes, casts our failures away if we pray to him with that contrite spirit. And then, of course, the T was for thanksgiving. We can always show our God our gratitude. There's always something for which to be thankful. I could thank God today. Thank you that I was able to just breeze onto I-26 with no traffic. Piece of cake today for some reason, for whatever reason it was. Thank you for your safety and protection as we've driven. My son and daughter-in-law came through Nashville 5 hours before the tornado hit. Just 5 hours. They were on that road where the tornado was coming through the city. How close can you come? Last week on the way back from Knoxville, I was able to drive up there to London with Mr. Holmes. We started back late. And I looked at him, he looked at me, and he says, I thought that you had it. I go, I thought that you had it. And we both kind of saw that our watches were late, so we left on the way back, hit a huge, huge traffic jam. It was 2 hours before we got back. We got back to Knoxville and heard the last sentence of the sermon. So, and we wondered after that, what if we would have left on time? What would if we had done that? would we have been in that horrible accident? It was a very bad accident. Multi-vehicles, a big semi, just really bad. You know, to thank God always first, there's always something for which to thank God for. You might be hurting in some way, but thank God we don't have that. Thank God that we're able to function. Thank God that we're able to read and see and hear, whatever it might be. There's always something, but it takes that time to actually think about it. And this life has got us so busy sometimes that we tend to forget about that. The things that are most important, that sometimes when it says you can ask, and God says you ask because you receive, or you ask for the wrong reasons, but you ask, and sometimes I wonder, if I would have asked for that before, instead of trying to do it myself, would I have cut the time in half that I spent trying to do it myself? How many times God can intervene and pave the way for something so easy and so simple, yet we make our lives more difficult than it should be? Just because of this. Just because of the prayer life. So I'd like to give some points today on how we can pray, what we can ask God for. The first one I would call the prayer of surrender, the prayer of surrender. You know, Christ himself did that. If you look back at Matthew chapter 26, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. The prayer of surrender, and our own Savior exemplified this. It's hard to even understand sometimes what our God and Creator actually went through in that sense when he knew what he was facing, because none of us really know what we're going to face sometimes. He knew what he was going to face. He knew that he'd be disfigured beyond recognition. So now after all these thousands of years, there it is. There it is. Can you imagine God the Father and Jesus Christ coming up with his entire creation plan, of which I would love to know how much time that it took even to do that. And then to put this plan together. How did that come together? Who decided? What was the idea, the thought behind, I want to make other gods. I want to have a family. How they decided that. And so the plan was Christ being foreordained from the foundation of the world. This was in the plan. They knew this would happen. He knew he would have to go through this, but it's thousands of years. So he's going, what? You know, is that, I don't think he did that, because time for him is nothing really when you think about what it says. But for over thousands of years, he's going through this, then this, then this, the walk with Abraham, David, and on through all these years. He gets to the New Testament church. Then he's born of Mary. What in the world was that like? How are you like when you're the God that always existed and now you're in Mary's womb? Did he know what was going on then? I can't answer that. That gets into one of those questions you can't answer. But we know it was done. So he's born of Mary. When did he know who he was? I have no idea there. The Bible doesn't say that. So there are questions that we can certainly have. But then you get to this time. Here it is. Here, the night before. Now, after thousands of years, now is the time. And he prayed. He gave an example prayer. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Verse 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here a while and I go and pray over there. So he took them to a quiet place, peaceful place. Imagine some of us have done that at times too. You find a place, you can't find a closet. You know, Ambassador College, we used to have what's called prayer closets. Place that you can, even with 24 people in the dorm, you could find a place to go to pray. It felt unusual at first. I never had just a prayer closet. So, but it was intended to give you privacy when you might not be able to find it. Other times, that's why I liked Big Sandy. You had 1,800 acres. There was going to be a place that you could go find privacy out there. But he went to a place and he brought to him the disciples. Verse 37, it says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So verse 37 talks to you about something. There was more of a personal relationship, a closer relationship he had with these guys, because he could share his distress. And even then, they didn't really totally get it, because they had no idea what he'd be going through. He said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So it shows that human side that he had. Never evil, never sinful, but that human side of understanding pain, understanding agony. I mean, imagine any of us facing that, knowing what we go through. So many times we don't know what's happened. You know, I've never had a broken bone in my body. In fact, some of you have probably had kidney stones here. Could you imagine? No, just take that. Yeah, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you're going to be hit with a kidney stone. How would you be feeling now? I'd like to stretch the time out a little bit more. Is there anything I can do? No, you're going to have a kidney stone at 10 o'clock. That's how it's going to go. Just that. He knew exactly what he was going to be going through. He went a little farther, it says, verse 39, he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Even in that distressed time, we've talked about this, I know, before, I can't totally give the answer. But was he thinking in his agony, is there something we didn't talk about? Is there something that was missing here? Not that he would ever take that, because he says, nevertheless. Not as I will. He didn't want to suffer like that, but he knew that he had to. Very interesting when you take a look at what he had to do. And he felt, in that sense, that agony. And you can see again how God helped him, gave him the strength. So that's one that should help us. You know, whatever I face, whatever it might be, please give me the strength to be able to handle it. And you've got all the proof from all the apostles. Because most of them, with the exception of John, were martyred. And not just them. You look back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How would you like to have that attitude? Oh, king, whatever. We're just not going to go on our knees. We're not going to do this. There's no recollection of, hey, guys, is there something that we can do? Some way to get out of this? I already know the human thinking. You could almost get on your knees. Hey, we'll go down. We'll go like an inch from touching, so we really won't be touching. That thought didn't even enter their mind. It was, whatever you do, we're not bowing down to you. Love to have that strength and love to have that attitude. Something tells me that they had a pretty close relationship with God. Because that would take the strength from God. Unless you just have no fear of fire. Very interesting. The prayer of surrender. Matthew chapter 6, go back to the example prayer that Jesus Christ gave. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, but your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. And so he gives the manner, the typology of what we're to pray. And there's a lot contained in that. I'm not going to go through that today, but I'll pick out this piece here. It says, your kingdom come. And when you see all that's happening today, all the sorrow, all the grief, and you see some good things too, I know. And those are great to rejoice over if you can. We're getting a perspective on how to handle that. I mean, is it a big deal who wins the Super Bowl? It's fun to watch, but is that such a big deal? No, to God? Absolutely not. Fun to watch? You know, you can pick your team. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's fun. That's okay. But the world's become so obsessed with all these things instead of looking at really, truly at the things of God. So it's always something. Next, now it's going to be March Madness. I love March Madness. I love watching. It is madness. Because usually a lot of times it happens is the team that's really not that good will sometimes go on and knock off the champions. That helps. That happens so much. But it's a whole different game once you get to the tournament. And then, of course, it's not done there. Then you get NASCAR, then you get baseball, then you get football starts again. It all overlaps. And there's always Kentucky Derby. Something's always going to be taking place for people to get their mind distracted off of what's taking place in the world. Yeah, we pray and we see some of the bad things. We see a lot of the evil that's taking place. And so as we focus in on that, our prayer is, God, please help your kingdom to come. I've seen too much suffering. Please help us to be ready. You know, a lot goes behind that too. We certainly want to be ready. We know that it says the bride has made herself ready. So it's going to take place. And I would want to make sure that none of us miss out on that. but says your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a will, there's a work going on in heaven. What's that like? Do we ever think about that? A work of Christ said, I work and my Father works. What in the world do? What takes place up there? You thought it'd be kind of a little bit boring. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Do they just sit there all day? I don't believe that. I think they have a work that they're doing. Why do you create all those ministering servants of God, millions of angels? What are they for? They got to be for a purpose. So we'll find out more about that in the future, but it's just something to think about as God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. The prayer of surrender. The second point is the prayer for strength, faith, and love. So I'll combine those together so I don't get more points. Strength, faith, and love. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Who doesn't need that? The prayer for strength, faith, and love. Certainly plenty of examples of these throughout the testimonies of the scriptures from the very beginning through the very end. We're talking about that today. It's interesting when you see the confrontation that God allows Satan to come into the garden, so many other things to think of even when that took place. How long was it before he allowed Satan to go in? That had to be a part of his purpose. God allowed him to be in the garden. He could have restricted Satan from going into the garden, but he was in there. You know, every day we see that we're faced with temptations and different challenges. So are we up to it to ask God at the very beginning, give me the strength to resist temptations? Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. That same thing that happened at the beginning, we learned through all those years. Didn't we? All those years, do you remember the feasts? And do you remember the two trees that were always talked about? In fact, we would get front, here it goes, here's the two trees again. And I think we finally got the two trees because we realize we're faced with that every day. You and I have the opportunity, especially with God's Spirit, to take of the tree of life. We've got the opportunity to take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It looks good. I know how many times something in this world looks good. But then you see the rottenness that's behind it, the evil that's behind it. And yet he's so subtle. He's still so subtle. You see all the lies out there. And even the people of God wonder, is this a lie? Is this the truth? What's this person really like? And I see the conversations. I see sometimes people will be very strong in believing that this coronavirus is going to wipe out tens of thousands of people. And others that go, no, it's just one of those things they're putting on. What's really the truth there? And so what do you and I do? I watch. Nothing I can do about it. I just heard a little comment recently that Lysol will take care of it. I don't know if that's true or not. All right. You know, I give that a shot. I hear it kills a lot of other flu viruses and corona is just a spawn off on that. But do we really know for sure? God knows. We can certainly seek God's protection. Please help that not to hit us and anybody else. Please take care of that. Please wipe that out so it won't affect all these people. Please protect our brethren. I remember when the hurricane came through, I saw Cookville. Oh, Cookville. It's a great place for Mr. and Mrs. Bryant because he's our cook and he lives in Cookville. And I know it was hit by the tornado. So I called him. He goes, no, we're okay. And as far as I know, all of God's people have been spared from the destruction, from what I understand the report so far, and I'm very grateful for that. And sorry for the people that got hit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Very specific there. Strengthened with might, not through weightlifting, through his Spirit. This is spiritual strength that we need. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that's together, we could understand this together, what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what it's all about, together. You know, through all the things that we've gone through, it's very interesting, as Mr. Dredden mentioned, that he was second generation. And going back and looking at first generation, a lot of us will go back and look at that and go, it all went so fast. And we went through learning process through that. And it's different now. It's different, but it's the same. What I'm talking about today is the same. There's a lot of things that are different, though. Things that we learned, things that we grew in, we made some big-time mistakes. No doubt about that. I never thought that those were intentional. It was just a way of looking at Scripture that we came to find out that wasn't the case. We used to keep Pentecost on Monday. We looked into that. That got changed. There's a lot of changes that happened, but we had to go through a lot of those things. And people handled them differently. Some felt like the church should be perfect. So when a mistake was made, they went out to find another perfect church. They're not out there. They just aren't. So some thought that, well, now God is here, he won't forsake the church. Oh, that thought was out there big time. Well, this is God's church, our first organization. He's not going to forsake this church. Looks like we were wrong. We weren't correct in that assessment, were we? What is God's church? Some people will tell me, well, the church left me. I didn't leave the church. You're wrong too. You're the church. I'm the church. That's what the church is. It's not a building. It's not a corporation. The church is composed of spirit-led beings that have God's spirit. That's what the church is. And God is working with the rest as well, by the way. So we are set apart for a purpose, but he's got the rest of the world in mind too, in its time. But here we are being strengthened with this through God's Spirit. We can step back and kind of go, I get what this is all about. Even with these new viruses that are coming out, I get this. It's not going to get any better. It'll probably get worse because of the sins of mankind, the spreading of diseases, the man with man, probably man with woman, with beast, probably man with kids. Talking to people, it's all opened up. Why stop any of that? The sins are going to continue to get worse. We're going to confront this in society. How can it get better? With Satan out there, in fact, turning up the heat, I see God's people are watching that. It seems like the heat is being turned up a lot more because you're seeing more hatred, not just disagreement, but more hatred, more sinfulness that's taking place. So we're watching, understanding the depth, comprehending all these things. But that comes, we need to pray about that too. We need to pray for understanding. We need to pray for unity. All of us here can probably sit down and disagree about something in the Bible. I know people have used Amos 3:3 for such silly things. No, two cannot walk together, yet yes, they'd be agreed. On every single thing? Well, you like scrambled eggs, I like poached. Well, I'm going to go to the church of poached eggs. I mean, it almost gets that silly. It really does. So we need to pray for the spirit of unity, that we can, that God will bring us all together in unity at once, that we come to the knowledge that God wants us to come to. Okay, the third point is a prayer for inspiration and wisdom. Prayer for inspiration and wisdom. I remember hearing that in the prayer today. Thank you. Because it's mentioned, please inspire the messages today. That's incredibly important. One thing I learned a long time ago, I probably have said this before, but I remember one lesson I learned from Mr. Pinelli when he was in Indianapolis, or it wasn't, it might have been the ministerial training program. He said, guys, he goes, there's one time I went up to the stage without praying. He goes, that's the last time. Never happened again. I said, who would want to go up there without God's guidance, without God's direction? And yet, even then, we've all muffed it so many times. You know, my wife would say, did you realize you said that? I go, I said that? And thankfully, most of the time, the brethren would understand that that was maybe an error or a mistake. But we've all done that. And it doesn't stop from asking for inspiration, because it's His words, not my words. We might come together and bring it together in a different way. We might use different examples because of my life, that I live differently from somebody else, places that you've been to. Oh, what a training program that was, going from Michigan to New Jersey to Indianapolis to Northern Kentucky, and then getting dunked in the South. My first assignment in Baton Rouge, they were eating my bait. Not the ones in the church, by the way. But they sauced everything and ate everything about that crawled. So that was an interesting experience. The brethren were very friendly. Thankfully, there were Cajuns down there, and I knew a little bit of French. That really helped. But then I got to Alabama and the South, and it was a little bit different. And sometimes, because of the transitioning, sometimes we get people that are a little bit different. I'm probably a little bit different. I was used to being in the North. In the North, they tell you like it is. That's the way it is. Hey, you, get out of the way. And now they say down here, hey, please get out of the way, bless your heart. So they put the Southern sauce on it. And sometimes, as Dixie Carter would say in the book that she wrote, she grew up in the South, that sometimes it's not always up front. So if you go to the North and you get hammered by the Northern, they're probably going to be very direct, but they'll be honest with you. And down in the South, they'll do the bless your heart, y'all come back now. And they probably might be thinking, oh, I hope they never come back again. So that, see how different characteristics can be. When Paul says, when you're in the Rome, do as the Romans do. So I've tried to do y'all for years and years and years, and I cannot get y'all with a Southern accent. It's got that Detroit tinge to it still. So, but there's differences, you know, differences that we've learned to enjoy in the cuisine, and different things like that. And of course, all of you that have been able to travel find that in different places that you go, don't you? The people are a little bit different here. They're fine. They're different in that way. It doesn't mean you've got to be just like me or eat the same way or talk the same way. But the bond of the unity of God's Spirit, you know, is there. You can feel that and see that. Inspiration and wisdom will come through Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. The importance of wisdom. Now, it's not just knowledge. It's wisdom with it. You can have all kinds of knowledge in the world. There are people that can do fascinating things. But how about the wisdom that comes with it? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all of His might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Wow, three scriptures that says a ton. I wonder if we read that one before we went out in the morning. Look what that says. Talking about, again, as we talked about before, being strengthened. Who doesn't need the strength? Who doesn't need the patience? As we passed, as I look back and talk, Mr. Holmes, in fact, on both ways was showing me his trucks. I think we passed about three of his trucks. And I said, it's interesting that those drivers have no idea that their safety man is driving right next to them right now. He says, yeah, you talked about that one truck being a little bit dirty. They like to have clean trucks and things like that. But on the way back, I saw in my Waze that I use for directions, it's a maps kind of program, and I saw that it was trying to take me off on Williamsburg, and I said, why would it take me off on Williamsburg? And so I totally ignored it. I go, I probably got the programming in wrong. And just as I passed the exit with no return, I saw the truck stopped ahead. I'm going, oh no. There's the patience, and what can you do? So Mr. Holmes and I had a nice hour and a half, 2 hour talk. We what can you do? Nothing. Why complain? Why whine about? Nothing I could do about it. So we get in those times sometimes when there's nothing you can do about it except go to God in prayer. thank God for the time I had to spend. You have a little bit extra time to spend with Mr. Holmes. There's always something for which to be grateful for, but praying for inspiration and wisdom, what's more important in this world than the things here that we're talking about to ask to God, asking God for? Number four, just talked about inspiration and prayer. How about understanding and favor? You know, that's actually the definition people talk about. Grace is a huge word. Ever think about where grace comes from? Grace is big. We used to teach that it was an unmerited pardon. And why that's a component of it, that's not all that it is. Because if it really meant unmerited pardon, how does it say that Christ grew in grace and knowledge? How did Christ grow in unmerited pardon when he never sinned? But you have a son that grows in favor, the meaning of favor. Christ grew in favor. He favored somebody because of what they did. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. That's favor. And he grew in that favor because he did his father's will. Prayer for understanding and favor. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 33. Let's go to the Old Testament for this one. Exodus chapter 33. Moses' prayer, this is here. We see the one time, how frustrating it might have been for Moses as he's leading these people. And he made that one mistake, didn't he? You know, what happened then? What did he, something we'll find out in the future. They see him and go, hey, by the way, when you made that mistake, and by the way, you think I'm just focusing on this one. I saw all that you had to do. I want you to meet Yul Brynner over here. Or Charlton Heston. There's going to be some comedy scenes here now. But all this will happen, by the way. This is going to take place. Well, asking Moses, what took place? He goes, you know, I didn't have a good sleep. Found out that there was a rock under my shoulder. You know, didn't have a good sleep. I was irritated. And all of a sudden, they're starting to come for me for help. And I just didn't get my prayer in. Nice setup. And all of a sudden, I got to this, and they were bugging me for the whole entire week. It was just miserable dealing with these people, these stiff-necked people. And somebody just poured it to me, and I went ahead and hit the rock, and I totally forgot about God's instruction. That's a potential scenario, isn't it? Most of the time when we fall flat, when we make our mistakes, is when we start to get away from God. That's when we really fall, because it's easy when life is going really good. Now it's going great, but every time human nature is there, we start to fall a little short, we start to get more trials, now our knee time's going to increase a little bit. Wouldn't it be nice to stay up there all the time? And it can. It doesn't have to be like the feast. It doesn't have to be like the feast, where you're up on this high plane and you go down. Nothing's stopping you or I from praying to God. Nothing does. Making sure that that's the most important thing, that we start our day out, that we continue our day out, and that we end our day out with. Exodus 33, verse 13. Let's begin actually in verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. Therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Look favorably upon me, Moses' prayer to God. What would you ask if you were with Christ and you had to lead those people? What a tremendous responsibility it was. Of course, then you can see he already had certain training. He knew about leadership training by being under Pharaoh. And now he's in this position here, no longer as a king per se or a leader in Egypt, but now a shepherd over the flock. And a stubborn one at that. Show me your favor. Verse 14 again, he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And he did. We see some of the challenges, sure, that happens through our life, but how many times can you see that he's given us rest as well? We go through different crises throughout life, don't we? And although they're really hard to begin with, you know, with all the different things that have happened even in the past year, that's why I was saying I'm grateful that we've got more baptisms this year, more marriages. I'd definitely rather see those than funerals. And yet we've had to confront those, and we will in the future, because that's what happens. And you sorrow at that time, can't take that away, because God allows us to suffer, and that's a natural thing. But there's a peace that he will tend to give to you too, as life goes on. You accept that, you go on. Sometimes we don't, the world doesn't understand that. Just doesn't understand. They think God's a mean God. All these things happen. Some people were really mad because he allowed this tornado to hit Nashville. And 27 people were killed. How about 150 that weren't? We could look at it that way too. But everybody was affected by that. To give us understanding and favor, how important that is. Point five, a prayer for blessing. Let's go to number six, a prayer for blessing. When we get those little kids to come to camp this year, prayer for God's blessing. So I ask the people how important this is. We get all these kids that are coming to camp. God, please help me to send them back with the parents in one piece. And the peace that's there, truly, I mean, every year I've done that, it's gotten stronger because I realize the potential hazards that are there. The safety element is so important, and we can be so safe, yet something can still happen. You cannot look for a second, and all of a sudden, that happened to us going shopping one time. The kids were there, I turned around, and they were gone. What in the world? They go. Big lesson to learn there. That was a big lesson throughout our lives. My wife would say, hold on to him, please, in church. I go, okay. And I'm talking and talking, and all of a sudden somebody goes, is that your son up on the stage playing the piano? Just a second that it takes for something tragic to happen. And a blessing regardless on the children, help them to live good lives. I was mentioning to Mr. Dick, you know, it's a blessing when you've got children. If they choose not to come into the church, please help them to be good people. Help them to be, have good morals and good ethics. That would be good enough for me. But that's a blessing that we can ask, and I'm sure we're heartfelt when, for those of you that have got kids and grandkids, you pray for God's blessing to be upon them. Eventually that they would come into the truth, but if they don't for some reason, that God would still bless them with good lives, with lives that maybe are close to God as well. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, this is a prayer that I end up with at camp now as the kids go forward, and that kind of leaves an emptiness in your stomach as well when you see that place that's filled with all these kids and staff, and that at the time that they leave, it's empty. You've all experienced that probably for those that have stayed after the feast. You were there with all those people, and you walk into that tabernacle and go, this is just like empty. It's like the Spirit of God is no longer there like it was when all those people were there rejoicing and glorifying God. What a difference it makes. And there we got all this happening with all these kids that are potential God beings. And I've got 4 days and try to get through to the staff too. And thankfully they realize this through all the years that we've gone through. You can make an impact more in 4 days with a child than you can for all year that they've experienced. I've heard one child say that this was the best experience of his entire year that he went through, just those few days. I guess my wife said he said of his life. So you get a lot of good things that happen through that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That's Aaron's blessing. And give you peace. Who doesn't need peace? Moses was able to partially look upon God, as you remember. He asked, and God actually gave him that favor. He couldn't look upon his face because you couldn't look upon his face and live in that glory. One day, you and I are going to look upon the face of Jesus Christ and upon our Father. Wow. We'll be able to do it. We'll finally be able to look upon the face of a Father that we've And you know what I'd like to happen? You know what would be great? I know you. Yeah, I know you too. You know, because you've had the walking relationship. You just haven't seen him. But you've known him because you talk with him and you listen to him. Contact relationship with God. Don't know what you look like. Even the apostles said that. I don't know what he's going to look like, but I know this guy. I'll see him as he is. In that glorified state, that glorified body. And as the last feast came and went, I remember planning for New Zealand. Gone. And the next one already coming upon us. That's going to go, gone. And I try to tell you that every time I'm up here just before the feast. Watch. I'll be right back. After the feast, I told you it was going to go by quick. What happened to that anyway? What happened to that last feast? What happened to last Sabbath? What happened to the last week? It all goes by so quick. And eventually we're going to be there at the real thing. I hope that's encouraging to all of us. Pretty soon we're going to be at the real thing. Prayer for blessing. Sixth point is a prayer for influence and protection. You probably heard of this because a while back there was a book focused on called The Prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles 4, beginning in verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory," or my border, "that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he asked for. That was pretty bold, wasn't it? Expand my border, expand my territory, bless me, that I would not cause pain. I think anyone that's got the love of God would never want to cause someone pain. And yet so many times this tongue can hurt so bad and devastate so bad. In either the things we say, sometimes in the things that we might do, help me not to cause anybody any pain. What a wonderful petition to ask before God that you would expand. Help me to have good influence. Prayer for influence and protection. 7. How important this one is, especially as we come before Passover. A prayer of repentance. Now, for the Bible scholars out there who have all been around for a long time, first and second generation, and even third generation, where would you go to for the prayer of repentance? Think about that. I don't think it would take too long to think, because we sing it. We sing it. A lot of times we'll sing it. It's a four stanza song. Created me a clean heart, right? What a prayer of repentance. That you knew, wow, here's a guy too. David, called a man after God's heart. What in the world happened with David? Here is a shepherd that was beaten off lions, withstood Goliath, and he goes after Bathsheba and sets up Uriah. I mean, such a heinous crime, right? Let me ask you this. What do you think David's prayer life was right around that time? You know, David had time when he looked under the stars. Certainly he was busy keeping the flocks. That was probably a big job as well. But he had the time to look up at the stars. You ever do that at night? You know what that reminds me of? God's creation. I'm going to be up there one day. I'm going to see that creation. I think about that. I think about Orion. I can pick out a few of them. I'm not a good astronomer from that sense, but I see the pan. Isn't that called the Big Dipper, right? That Big Dipper is, David saw the Big Dipper. David saw that. Did you ever think about that? When you stop for a while and get out of your routine, and just look up and think about that. I thought about water too. Because I remember you stop wasting water. I'm going, how am I wasting it? I know we might be paying for more, but you can never really, in a sense, waste water because it's always been around. You know, it used to be, you know, have all you want, we'll make more. God doesn't make more. It's the same water. So it just goes up into the heavens, comes back up. Sometimes holes up come up in the earth and more water comes up. Springs open up. Same water. We're probably drinking the same water that David drank. Interesting to even think about that, though. But when you look up at the stars, when you take time and you talk to God, it brings you more into reality. And yet Satan's world brings us more into fantasy, doesn't it? Because you're watching, kids are watching things that have to do with all fantasies. And God's world is reality. David got to a point, here's a scenario. Don't know exactly what happened, but did David get too busy in the kingdom? Now he's a king. For a while there, over just Judah and then Israel got together too, finally. And David had two kingdoms. I bet he was a busy guy. Especially when you get multiple wives. How does that work out? Somebody's going to want your time, right? How much time do you have in a day? How much time do you have in a day for one wife? Hopefully enough. Hopefully. You know, again, the priorities that need to be there, that's a reality. But if you got all these multiple wives and everything that's taking place, then all of a sudden you start to forget God. Of course that's going to tend to happen. Now all of a sudden the thinking's not right. Because right away he would have said, when he see how he handled Goliath and everybody else, he would have said, hey, would have gone, no chance. I'm turning away from that. Get on your knees. God help me. I see the temptation and I don't even want to go there. Didn't happen, did it? But out of that, something good happened. Something positive happened. In fact, unusually, out of that relationship, out of the wives that he had, out of that relationship, out of David and Bathsheba, came Jesus Christ through that lineage. So God took something very bad and made something very wonderful. It shows his love and it shows his kindness. It shows his forgiveness. It shows his mercy. He said in Psalm chapter 51, again, you can sing it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. That's an easy one when you've done it as a choir song. We sing it. So when we sing it, I hope that's very important to us as well. Because that heart of David caused God to forgive his sin and to cast it as far as east is from the west. And yeah, there was a punishment for that as well. But David was forgiven. And ultimately will now be king. If you can see that setup, and the guy is going to be king over Israel, someone would say God's got to be a politician. Can't work that way. David must have been buying him off or something like that. And, you know, we'll say, you know, David, everything you did was great. We just wish you wouldn't tweet. But he wrote. He wrote, didn't he? He wrote a lot of important things for us to see his mindset, especially when it was a good mindset. This was a good mindset for David. Forgive me. Purify me. Prayer of repentance. Number 8 is a prayer for renewal. A prayer for renewal and restoration. So for those of you that had a tough week this week, you get a do-over. How many do-overs? I can point to how many do-overs. We're going to go to the book of Habakkuk. Right there in the Minor Prophets. We don't do that one very often. After Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, if I pronounce that correctly. You get a do-over. How many do-overs do we get in our life? I know the answer to that. Specifically, it says, Christ said specifically, how many times do I forgive? 7 times? What did he say? 70 times 7. How many of us are like 378 or 396? Where are we with that? And obviously, we know what that means. God's forgiveness keeps going as long as we're willing to get on our knees and ask for forgiveness. We also, don't forget, have to ask for that strength and courage that we don't do the same things that we do. And here's the point. We get up to days of 11 bread. I'll bring this up again. You know, all these years, we've put out unleavened bread. How many of you, I'm going to ask right now, with 4 weeks, How many of you right now have consolidated your leavening? Has anybody out there done that? So we've got some that have done that. Typical. Consolidated. Can we consolidate our spiritual sin too? Can we? Do you all know your weaknesses? We are the ones that are supposed to be looking in the mirror, not me at you, you in the mirror, looking at our weaknesses. And if you've done this for years, if you've done this for 30 years, how in the world can you not put sin out of your life for good? What happens? Why does it come back? Where is it? Is it new? Is it new sin? Is it old sin? We've gotten really good with this as far as the physical. Baking soda, baking powder, you've got all that stuff. We get it out, and yet somehow we can't get all the spiritual out. And we use the analogies. This is just simply another one. Why can we not get this out? Is more fervent prayer needed? Is Isaiah 58 needed? The fasting to loose the bonds of weakness? Is this the tough one on you? That's just so hard to get rid of this one. Because you have a tendency, because of what's happened in your life, going all the way back to childhood, that there's a proclivity to do something like this. Can you not dump this one? God says you can. But we have to put the effort into it too. Our lives aren't going to change if this is just one to go. I've given some examples. But this can either be a catalyst to improve our prayer life, or it's either going to stay the same, or you're going to look in the mirror, turn your own way, and just nothing's going to really change. And for God, there's got to be change. There's got to be growth in our lives. What a better way to start it than this? This is a basic for renewal and restoration. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. It says in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. He said, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Very interesting how his prayer was. We've been given a prayer more because of the things that we went through, I'm sure, as well. It was devastating, some of the splits that we've gone through. Devastating. You know, to be able to get back up was, we were so filled with exhilaration. You know, everybody here has probably been on different paths. To hear Mr. Dickey's path was incredibly interesting. Learned a lot of new things as well. Very interesting to see the paths that we've been on. But to get back up after reuniting again, go, we want to get going again. And then you get going and bam, it blows up again. It's devastating. And then you get back up and go, all right, we want to get going again. You start going again. Kaboom, it blows up again. You get back up again and we're going again. Here we go. Zealousness still there of wanting to do the work. Same thing. Because you know that God doesn't want you to stop. And so when people say to me, if that ever happens again, I'm done. I'm going, you just resigned yourself to failure. How many times do we have to keep getting up? How many times in your own spiritual life do you have to keep getting back up again? You get knocked down, you get up again. There's a song about that. There's always a song about that. I get down, get knocked down, get back up again. I want to be careful. I don't know what the rest of the words are. But you can. You can. You can get back up again. I love this part. You can get back up again. Stop hammering yourselves and get back up again. And ask. Ask for God's strength. Ask for God's mercy. You can do it. I can do it. And we can do it together. And we will do it because God is building his church. His bride will be ready. But we've got to take this seriously because there are just too many distractions in this world. The ninth point. We got two more points here. Ninth point is a prayer for mercy. Prayer for mercy. You remember the story of the tax collector? The one that goes before this would be in Luke chapter 18. I'm so thankful I'm not like everybody else. Isn't that so dangerous? You know, the dividing line between understanding that God has called certain people, not because they're better than anybody. Why'd he call? Why'd he call Israel? He even said that. Not because you're greater than anybody. He had a purpose of what he was doing, but he had great expectations for Israel as well. They were to be an ensign. They were to be a sign for other people. And so what do you see? Same thing. This nation, as good as it has been, When you talk about a nation that gives, there's no nation in the world that's helped like this nation has. Does it make us better than anybody else? No, because God blessed us with the things that we have to give to other people, but we have given. Anytime there's some kind of crisis, bam, we're there to help. Always been there to help. Yeah, we've done a lot of hurt too. But I remember when we were over in France and they were upset of us, upset for something because they were accusing us of wanting to dominate the entire world. And Secretary Chief of Staff Colin Powell goes, you know something? We've got our territory. The only other territory that we've ever wanted from you is enough land to bury our soldiers that defended your country. I thought that was really, give you a really perspective then. I know some of the people over here were so mad they started calling them freedom fries. But you know, there's been good, not that they're better than anybody else, because God's blessed us. So we can count our blessings and thank God for our blessings, because you can see our fellow brethren over in Africa and other places that don't have it near like we have it here, wherever they might be. Nobody's better than anybody else, but that was the parable that you saw of the publican and the tax collector. Thank you, I'm not like everybody else. That's not the way to pray. He beat his breast and said, "You God, you're so merciful." I believe that's the attitude. I really do. If it wasn't, it would be kind of scary, because I know that we don't believe so many people have said, "I don't deserve to be here." You're right. We don't. It's only through God's blessing and mercy. So we need to ask for that mercy in his life. You know, cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Help me to be happy and thrilled and zealous instead of blah. Christian is not supposed to hide their light. They're going to look at you and go, "Why are you so happy all the time?" They feel like sometimes slapping the smile off your face because they're so miserable. And yet you're so happy despite trials that you've been going through. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the last one is the prayer for boldness. A lot of different things we can pray for, but we certainly need the boldness as well. Acts chapter 4, and they knew they needed it too. Acts chapter 4, because now they were changed, but they knew they needed to ask. They were changed men. When you see the difference between disciples that were arguing who would be the greatest, and then the disciples in Acts 3 that go, "Why do you look upon us as though by some type of our power that we did all this, giving all the glory to Jesus Christ?" That's it. In your life and mine, that's why you're here. Not because of anything you or I did. It's only because God the Father somehow, out of billions of people, sought you out for his purpose, for whatever reason. Why me? You'll find that out. I don't know. Why me? Do you ever think? I know we thought about that. Why me? But then after that, when you receive the gift and the strength of God's Spirit, there are some changes that take place in your life, in my life, in the lives that we see in the disciples. Who is the greatest, and how can we better serve? From Peter going, "I'll lay my life down you, easy." Christ going, "You don't get it yet, but you will." We saw that mercy as well. Acts chapter 4. In verse 29, Acts 4 and verse 29. So whatever takes place in the future, whatever is going to happen, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And it looks pretty ugly. You know what happens? How is this going to unfold? What happens when those 10 territories or 10 nations, we talked about that for years, and it's not happened yet. I think the pieces are come together as we're watching, but that's what we're doing, is watching. I don't know how that's going to be. We're just watching. In the meantime, preparing ourselves. We're watching prophecy unfold. Our jaws will probably drop when it all finally really happens. King of the North coming against the King of the South, when the beast power comes into play. You see pieces of that. What happens when another ruling party comes in and that actually believes in socialism? What if that comes into play? I've thought about that. I don't know exactly how it would unfold, but I'm going with that mentality. say goodbye to your 401ks. Bye. So how important is that unto us? Or do we go, okay, whatever happens, God, they're going to throw the gold in the street. So what difference if you've got gold, if you've got 401ks, it'll probably be worthless. What are you going to have left? Your relationship with God. And by the way, you know somebody that owns the entire universe. He's rich. You know, that's interesting perspective too. But I'm not saying that's what, it's something is going to happen that's going to change. It talks about the famine of the word. How is that going to work? Will you not be able to attend a service anymore? What does he exactly mean by that? Will they take all the Bibles? What will happen? Whatever happens, it's not going to look good. But you and I can have the boldness and the strength that all the other ones had before, that it doesn't matter whatever happens. I'm here to do God's word. God, whatever you want me to do. And if they throw me into a furnace of fire, give me the strength to be able to face that. And they were. Is he going to answer your prayer? Is that sense of, he can answer it with a yes or a no, or just no answer at all sometimes for you to wait it out and to trust and have faith in him. Well, they knew that too when they served. Acts chapter 4. Look on their threats, verse 29, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you can actually have that in your prayer, that together, unified for a common purpose, that at least this organization, not judging any of the others, because we have a common purpose on preaching the gospel, but that we would do it with boldness. And I think I see that. I just picked up the discern, or was it the in accord? Was it in accord or discern? I go, look, eggs. I think I know what they're going to be talking about. Do you think there's going to be some boldness? I think so. I just read an article that talked about those that believe in the original sin, and they were pretty bold about explaining that was not true, and that many people believe in, because Adam sinned, now that passed on to the children, and now they've got a sin attached to them. That's not what the scripture says. So that we could ask God to preach the word with boldness. A lot of people are not going to like to hear those things, but God's going to direct those that he wants to hear that message. Because he's still calling people. So I've got 10 points today and ideas that we can do on bettering our prayer life. You know, I called this, for those that don't have a copy, if you'd like to take a look at some of the scriptures that I've used, I called it the perfect day, but in reality, I'm not sure that we could ever have one. I'd like to. I would like to put striving for the perfect day. Maybe some of us could be perfect for 24 hours. I don't know. Sin is the transgression of the law. And could your mind be focused? Could you have such contact with God that your day, you're kind of going, wow, this is a great day. I might have hit the perfect 10 here. You know, maybe God will go, nah, you know, but keep working on it. You know, and that's the important point, isn't it? You know, this is a basic concept that we've known within the church. Somehow, I really believe we can do better. And I'd like to do that. I'd like all of us to do that. Let's increase our prayer life, that all of us can be strengthened together with that boldness, with that faith, with that courage, with that element of mercy, that everything we ask of God, he'll give it to us in due time, but it'll be used for a great purpose. Of serving other people. That's his church. That's our God. That's our destiny. And that's our prayer.